My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. Guiding, ethics, and social media. Hi, everybody. I am just back from Kenya, first day back in the office, and in my 2 weeks up there, I must have had more river crossings. Now, I'm talking big, dusty, massive river crossings than I've had combined in the last 5 years. It just popped. It was amazing. It was the true spectacle that we all think of it and that we know of. But in between that, there's obviously some guides who, let's call it, misbehave. Yeah, some guests who misbehave. Not our guests, not our guides, but in and around that ecosystem. So over the last while, there's been a lot of noise online about people calling each other out and strange slash questionable guiding behavior that gets used as marketing. So just before I left Kenya, Johan and I had a quick conversation, just sharing some ideas on this whole guiding, social media, ethical behavior, calling each other out thing. We just share some thoughts, and I think it probably warrants more discussion down the line, but we'll get there. For now, though, have a listen, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this one. Okay, so I'm sitting with Johan. Hello, Johan.
Hey, G. How's it going?
Lekker. Hey, sorry, let's just quickly do this. Where were you recently? Where are you going?
I was in Lozambezi, and then after that in South Africa, and Madikwe and Kwandwe, and then heading off to the Mara just over a week from now.
Oh, yes. I'm seeing you in the Mara. We're co-hosting the Chicago Photography Classes.
That's it.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's kind of a last-minute decision to do this. Just for context, in the previous episode, I spoke about social media and nature photography and how, to me, sometimes it feels like people are so quick to take an experience. Like, and I mentioned in the episode, we sit for 3 hours. I mentioned polar bear. You watch this thing, and that experience gets distilled down to a 10-second reel.
Yes.
And how some people seem to, a lot of these influencers specifically, want to take these amazing things that we see and do and turn it into a post that gets fed to people in between protein shakes and going on holiday.
Yeah.
Right. So then we've been sharing a lot of messages on the Wild Eye Guides group over the last, what's it been, month or so. But it's a recurring theme that comes up.
Yes.
So enlighten people. What is the theme that we want to just chew on a bit?
Yeah, so I think in order to for this to make sense to everyone, I think we almost have to reverse engineer it and think of when safari started and what the goal was. You know, when these reserves were started, like in the Kruger and, you know, all over Africa. And I think the goal was to give people, well, first of all, to protect these animals, protect the areas and kind of protect their survival, but also give people the opportunity to view these animals in their wild, doing what they naturally do, whether we were there or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think let's also put it into perspective that once we start, you know, building lodges, building roads, all of these things to access these areas, you're already changing a part of that natural cycle. And if we had to bring it down to ground level, there's already some sort of impact that's happening with us building those roads and those lodges there. But these animals still do what they naturally do. Mm. What's happening now is, like you mentioned, is it's almost like the photography thing over the years has become, okay, now everyone has created this or that kind of image.
Mm.
We almost now have to push the boundaries in order to create something a little bit different. And, you know, sharing experiences with guests in the field that is perceived to be amazing, where it's actually putting both the animal and the guest life in danger.
To what end? To sell trips, to what's the end of that? Why do people do it?
So the problem that I have, I mean, like I'm no angel by any means. We've all done things. I've been very close to elephants with clients and with cheats and all those things, but I've never shared any of that online.
Why not?
Because I don't go out on a trip to look for that particular experience.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, then I kind of manage it on the ground. But it also, I kind of back myself. I know what I'm doing. I don't want people to go out to monopoles, for example, and think, hey, there's an elephant. I can get out of my car and like walk a meter from it. And so...
Wait, sorry. On that example, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. In that example, people have done that and died.
Yes.
Not even being... They have died. Elephants have killed people there 100%. When they don't know what they're doing. And still, even if you know what you're doing, these are... Even like you mentioned, there's a fence around it. It's controlled in a certain instance, some places more than others.
Yeah.
These are still wild animals.
Absolutely.
So people have died.
Absolutely. And I think often with those places, because people can self-drive and get out of the vehicle by themselves without a guide, I think a lot of it is because of what's been put out on social media, that it seemed to be okay to do things like that. And... So that's the problem that I have with it, and the reason why I don't share it, and I tell my guests not to share it, it's a cool experience for them. You know, show it to your friends on your phone, but I think sharing it out to the world might get a lot of backlash if people don't have context.
Yeah.
But it's also what people perceive to be okay without a guide, if that makes sense.
Sorry, say that again. It's okay if people perceive without a guide.
Yes. So, say for example, let's take an example. So, without putting myself into trouble yet. No, but I was in a park last year, and we had a big elephant that's known to get close to people, and we sat sort of next to the vehicle and stuff. And this elephant came close. I said to the guest, "Stop photographing." And this elephant walked past. I got photos and videos of it. But if I had to share that, I think people might think that they can go by themselves without sort of, you know, animal experience or, you know, understanding animal behavior and doing that. So, like I say, I'm by no means an angel, but like I don't look for those particular experiences. I don't put myself with an elephant and use it as a marketing thing all over social media to say, come with me on safari and I'll show you these kind of things.
I think it's also, and let's keep it real here.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago, I'm trying to think, maybe 2-3 years ago, and one of our guys, Michael, was in monopoles, and there was a situation where they were at camp. I think it might have been Winlunga.
Yeah.
Right? Open, tented camp, so it's in the wild, there's no fences. And there was, with his clients, his regular clients, which I think is a big deal because regular clients trust you, they've come back, they understand you, and when you say, listen, Johan, I need you to sit still now, they get it because they understand safari more than the first time safari goer.
Yes.
Anyway, what happened, we're in the office and Mike then posted an incident that happened, a situation where this elephant, I think it was Boswell, chill as anything, right? He's used to people.
Yeah.
He's walking through camp.
Yes.
And... basically through the dining area, if you will, because it's open air. And the one client wanted to get up, so he said, no, just sit still. Mm-hmm. And Mike was away, and he's filming this, and the elephant walks within, call it 2 meters, of the client sitting still. 100% safe. Why? Because Mike is there. Cancel that. Let's just be real. Not 100% safe, but in that instance, it was fine. The elephant was going from there to there. The camp owners knew this elephant. Mike has seen him before. The client was calm because she trusted Mike. So it was, as much as you can control a situation like that, it was controlled.
Yes.
So he puts this on Instagram. Great moment this morning. And for the client, it was. We spoke to her afterwards. Loved it. She didn't feel threatened because of how it was controlled. We then asked Mike. We sent him a message and said, can you please take this off? He understood because that is not what we sell.
Yeah.
That is not what we sell. That is not what we condone. We will never go looking for that.
No.
We wouldn't do it again and again and again and try and build a brand off it.
Yeah.
But we asked him to take it off. The client had an amazing experience. She's got the video. But in all her trips, this particular client, I think, must have done about 15 trips at this stage. That was the first time it's ever happened in over, how long's a trip? 10, 150, half a year's worth of safaris.
Yeah.
But we took it down. And we made the call because that is not what we sell.
Yeah.
We don't condone that as a regular thing.
Yeah.
Things happen on safari, yes.
Yes.
But if you start looking and it's again and again and again and again, what then?
No, exactly. And I think also for, you know, if there's any sort of guides listening out there, maybe even guides starting out on your career, is you know, I think you very quickly develop a reputation, especially if you start sharing these things out online regularly, that, you know, unfortunately one day maybe something will happen. And even if you were in the right and you didn't do anything wrong, people will judge you by what they've seen in the past.
Because there's no context.
And say, well, we know, you know, Tommy, he goes and he looks for these things. He looks for, you know, to create content from being close to elephants, being close to whatever animal it might be. Maybe he pushed his boundaries again. Mm. Meanwhile, he probably didn't do anything wrong. He was just, look, that can also happen. Sometimes you just get the wrong animal on the wrong day. And that could also happen. It's happened to a lot of experienced guides. But I think, you know, if you have a reputation of sharing these things out regularly, I don't know if it's, I think it's perceived by a lot of people as being cool and things, but I think there's been a lot of people that have been very vocal the last few weeks about it, people getting called out on certain things. I think people are starting to see a different side of it now. We're getting a better understanding.
I'm wondering, though, the whole idea of it's cool, yes. Is okay, let me be honest as well. Way in the past, before social media, we did dumb shit.
Yeah.
Because nothing was filmed.
No, exactly.
So Grant, if you're listening, I mean, in Medikwe, we did stupid shit back then. But never with guests.
No.
Like Grant and I would walk into lions and we would track them and we would push the boundaries too far, but we were young and stupid.
Yeah.
Right? But it was, I was a lodge-based guide.
Yeah.
And it was more of a to get a rush for yourself. And looking back, it was fucking stupid. Right? We were idiots.
Yeah.
But it would never have been, imagine if I had to take that incident that we had, and there was many, right? Yeah. Elephants, this, and never, look, we were stupid, but never stupid.
Yeah.
But you would never take that and go to the lodge and say, hey, here's something for our next newsletter.
No, exactly.
So why does it work now? So I've got a lot of, I think, trying to extract ourselves out of it for a second is, you have people putting stuff online which they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? They are doing it too regularly and it becomes a part of who they are, reputation.
Yes.
But now also there's people, and there's a lot of people currently, I can think of three or four, who's very vocal and pointing at other guides saying, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I agree with that approach. I think people need to be called out if they do something again and again, or if there's an incident. There was one particular thing recently where, and honestly, I don't even know who the guide was involved, but where Wild Dogs was literally biting a client's, not just, there was another video of a client laying down and the dog like a meter in front of him, right? I saw that. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But this other video, I don't know who the guide was. I really don't.
Yeah.
But the video is of this guest sitting with his camera, and the dog is literally eating. I'm not being metaphorical here. The dog is chewing his shoe.
Yeah.
That's obviously wrong, and that should be highlighted.
Yeah, exactly.
But where do we draw the line of calling out people over and over and over again? Because eventually you start getting a reputation of, okay, you know what? Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Whatever the case is. Yes, there's obviously context to every single thing, and there is right and wrong. I just think it's become a very, I almost want to say toxic.
Yeah.
Like people are sharing things because they're going to get likes, then they can sell my shoes because I've got more likes and I can go to the brands and say, hey, look here what I have.
Yeah.
And a lot of the brands don't understand the ethical side of it. Then you've got people on the other side saying, you're wrong. At some stage, you also start looking a little bit like,
yeah. It's a bit messy.
It's very messy. And I think the whole social media idea of distilling these incredible experiences down to a 15-second clip, which you want to try and go viral, and then we're pointing fingers. I don't know. It's just, I was away in Borneo, so I didn't follow a lot of this. I came back, and it's just this shit show online.
Yeah.
And everybody's pointing fingers. And I don't know.
Yeah. I think also, you know, especially for these guys that are doing it, you know, essentially the influencer says exactly that. You know, you're influencing what people do, what people decide. So, you know, as a guide, and I think that's also another thing is, you know, from the private guiding side of it, there's no regulations on, you know, qualifications and those kind of things. You could be, you know, gone on a few safaris and now all of a sudden you're leading safaris in Africa. Mm. If you're following these people that are so-called sort of influencers, and I mean, let's be honest, we all have some sort of influence. If people are watching,
100%.
If people are watching what you're doing, you've got an influence. But if you're someone, you know, with a so-called big following, and you're putting these things online, that for me is, I mean, we saw what happened in that video that went viral in the Serengeti.
With the crossings recently.
With the crossings as well.
It's Nick Clear's video.
Yeah. So a lot of it is, I think, you know, people are seeing what a lot of these guards are doing online, you know, getting out of the vehicle, getting, you know, having a wild dog bite your foot. That should not be an experience. That is not an experience. That's putting, even though, you know, the guide can say, well, you know, there's no reports of wild dogs, you know, killing people, but still, you don't want to break that barrier, you know, because I think once we lose that connection, you know, you're stepping on dangerous grounds. You don't know yes, you might have a wild dog in front of you, but you don't know what's around the bush. There might be a lion or something there. Then your story becomes very different. So I think part of what people are doing is what they're seeing online. I've seen a new thing is putting cameras out.
Like a camera trap?
No, like your normal camera. Putting on a sandbag and then having a remote control and, you know, photographing lions or rhino or whatever. You might say you're not interfering with the animals, but, you know, where are we going to draw the line with this? Because it's
because of the attention. Social media has made us all attention whores that you need more, we need more, we need more. Yeah. If this image, and I remember way back, we did an episode where we spoke about after COVID, how suddenly there was a lot more wildlife photography being shared. And now with AI, if an image isn't viral enough or good enough, let's just add another polar bear in the back, or let's do this. Is what are we doing here? Why are we doing it?
Yeah.
Like it's, and for me, we're going all over here, but it's also a lot of photographers, and I think it's the same mentality. They talk about, I'm going to get your shot. I'm going to take the shot. That sounds selfish.
Yeah.
You're just taking. You're not experiencing. You're taking. It's almost like you're stealing.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the shot, get the shot, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And if that's your idea, then at some stage you're going to get to a point where you need to take something better. You're going to take more.
Yeah.
And then what's the next boundary? So then you want to go on foot. Then you want to lay underneath a car.
Yeah.
Then you want to sit and have elephants walk right between you and your guests. It becomes a dark space.
It doesn't stop.
And the idea, I'm just thinking now when you were saying like the wild dog chewing on the shoe. I honestly, I don't even know where that was. I saw the video when I came back from Borneo.
I think it was in Mana, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So something happens there where it's safari should almost be the respect for wildlife and nature is we need to, like you said in the beginning, we need to go in, watch them do what they do naturally without affecting their behavior and then leave.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like it, and this is going to sound like very like hug a tree vibe, but it's almost like it's a dream. You want to step into this dream and then leave without influencing it.
Yeah.
The moment you touch it, you're making yourself a part of it, and we try not to do that.
Yeah.
Isn't that why we've got these places?
Exactly.
But when people start going down the road of whether it's for following, whether it's because I want to prove what a man I am, or I've got a brand deal that I need to satisfy, you're blurring every single line that should be in place.
Yeah.
And then you put it online, and people who don't know, because let's be honest here. How many followers do you have on Instagram now?
70 odd thousand.
Yeah. How many of them do you think have been on Safari? More than half? No, probably not. Probably a small majority.
Yeah.
So they rely on you. It's your privilege to say to them, this is a good experience. This is what it's about. If you're now going to post elephants walking past you and splashing mud on you, next week you're posting a dog laying next to your client, and. Yeah. You, as the influencer / authority, is teaching the people who don't know better that that's okay. The small minority of your clients, of mine, all of us, who have been on safari, will look at this as well and think, they might not have the guts to get involved and say, you know what, Johan, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the whole calling out thing and this, because then, honestly, even people who call other people out, if we could audit you all the way back, you're also going to get a finger pointed.
Yeah.
So where do we stop with this thing? I mean, what happens here?
Exactly. I mean, like all of those guys pointing out, if all of them say they've never done, you know, something, then you're talking rubbish. If you've got it for a few years, you know, you've done something, but it
might not be a dog chewing the shoe.
But you've pushed the boundaries at some point.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be by yourself, with a line or something like that. But it's also, you know, where do we draw the line? Because now we're going to have the people that go way on the other end. And if you post a video of lions mating, you're in a vehicle, you're doing everything fine.
You're too close.
You're like, you interrupting these animals. Mm. You know, we also need to kind of find that happy medium that, you know, in order for these parks to survive, we need to view the animals and create a good viewing experience. Because if people don't see any animals, well, guess what? They're not coming back.
100%.
But we also have to do it ethically. And what does ethically mean? Well, basically to stay within the boundaries of what you what you're supposed to do. And I mean, you can't tell me that the people that went to the Serengeti and got out of the vehicle there, that they didn't know that they were doing the wrong thing.
No.
There were probably 40, 50, maybe more people outside the vehicle. Yeah. You can't tell me that all of them thought what we're doing here is the right thing.
The guide is 100% to blame.
Yeah.
But the guest as well.
Yeah.
Like, I understand. So I just thought there's something called concept creep, right? Okay. So that would be, for example, let's say, let's go racism. Yeah. So go back in time. What is racism? Me calling you a certain word is racism. We don't do that. And that's the parameter in which we work.
Yep.
So everybody then, okay, cool, cool, cool. We agree that's bad. Okay. But then the concept creeps a bit wider. Now, if I look at you funny, that's also racism.
Yeah.
Okay. Until everybody agrees with that. And then the concept goes even wider. If I drive past you, that's racism.
Yeah.
And this has happened here.
Yeah.
Like at the core, do not let a dog chew your client's foot.
Exactly.
Bad.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We all agree on that. But now people who are pointing fingers, okay, but now also don't let the elephant walk a meter from your client. So 10 meters is okay. Yes, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then the concept creeps wider.
Wider.
And eventually it'll all go there. So we need to, but this is like you said, there is no right answer because who governs this?
Yeah.
And I think it has to be, it's almost for me, it's the transaction with the client. They pay me money, you money, Wildeye money, and some of these people who are both pointing at others and fucking it up.
Yeah.
To create an experience for them. And at that level of trust, I think it's up to the clients as well. Not, the onus is not on them, but they should also look at the behavior. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This guy is posting all these amazing close interactions with these animals. Nobody else is doing that. Yeah, maybe there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a reason why he's standing out because he's the only one doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's there as well.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what kind of analogy, and I mean, like, you can tell me if I'm talking absolute rubbish here, but I'm thinking of essentially what you do on your social media platforms is a form of advertisement, right? So if, let's take, for example, guys that make vehicles, let's say Toyota, for example, they share their vehicle that's on the floor, it's new, that's what they're advertising to you.
Yes.
They're not advertising, you know, the mechanics swearing at each other behind the scenes and everything, all the stuff that goes wrong, because yes, that happens, but it doesn't need to be shared.
Because I want Toyota to sell me the romance.
Yeah.
Tell me what's good about this thing. Make it aspirational. Make it amazing. Don't tell me it sucks 12 liters per kilometer.
Mm.
Don't tell me that. Tell me it's good with offering. Give me the romance.
Yeah.
And that's what we should be sharing, and that's what it really should be.
Yeah.
I think.
And I think, you know, so, my take on it is, sometimes you're in a vehicle and, you know, you come around a corner, elephant bull walks, and you can't do anything but let him walk past you. It comes very close. If someone had to come around the corner and take a photo, they'll be like, oh, look,
look what Johan's doing.
Last week on the podcast, he said, be ethical. But, you know, if that happens to me and I take a video, I said to the guest, yeah, take a video, whatever, but don't share it online. Because.
But you also tell them why.
Because, you know, you have to, and as much as you try and explain it and put a beautiful caption, people don't read it. They just jump to conclusions, no matter what you say. So I think, you know, it happens, but don't share it, if that makes sense. I think like the, on the other scale, I think, you know, what Nick did with, you know, those people at the vehicle, I think something like that, 100% share it, because that's something from a, from a whole ecosystem in that Serengeti that's been going on for a long time and it needs to be shared.
So just out of interest, we got this again this morning, and this is a lot of the kind of conversations going on. It's this one is about, and you and I spoke about this in the podcast years ago, long about cheetahs jumping on cars. And then obviously this happened again, and I'm not even sure what post this was. I just got a screenshot of this. Is you call yourself, so one person's calling out a safari company who obviously had a cheetah on the car.
Yeah.
You call yourself an ethical safari company, seriously, allowing cheetahs to climb on your vehicle and promote it on social media to get more bookings. You are no better than anyone else in that video. But this is this proves the point.
Yeah.
So the answer of the safari company who has now been blamed of using it to get bookings, their answer is literally this. We do not, in inverted commas, allow cheetahs to climb on our vehicles. They do so voluntarily, right? Often out of curiosity or for a better vantage point. Our guides remain passive or never encourage or engage. Of course, we'll share rare wildlife moments. That's what a safari is all about. Mm-hmm. Comparing this to blocking migration paths or stepping out of a vehicle is both misleading and unfair. They're wrong.
Yep.
They're wrong because your client, your guide should engage mm-hmm. and say no, chase him away.
Yeah.
Right? And it is, where's the, on a continuum, yeah. elephant walking past my car,
yeah.
Cheetah jumping on my car, dog chewing my client's yeah. foot, blocking a river crossing. It's all on a continuum here. But this shows exactly what you're saying.
Exactly.
Is it gets called out as you are doing this for bookings. They say, no. We're not. We're sharing a rare wildlife safari. This is what safari is about. It's not.
It's not.
It's not what safari is about. A dog eating your shoe is not what a safari is about.
There should not be any contact.
Nothing.
To a Zero. Vehicle or foot yeah. or hand or mouth, whatever it might be.
What's the solution to this? Because right now, everybody's pointing fingers at everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's upset. I mean, the amount of discussions we had in Borneo recently yeah. between my clients and I because of what we saw.
Yeah.
And then when I came back, I only saw the full extent of it. It's like, do you want to get involved? Don't you? And me saying it and you not going online and making a huge song and dance and saying, you're wrong. Should I be doing that?
Yeah.
I have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stay in my lane and make sure that what I do and the thing we present to our clients is the real thing. I can just hope that over time that moves the needle.
Yeah.
To get involved in this shit fight online.
No.
I mean, is that really going to change anything? Awareness? You probably, and this is how fucked up it is, right? Let's say Jerry does something wrong. I sit next to a hide and an elephant walks by, almost walks over me next to my clients. And I'm like online, this was amazing. Come with safari with me.
Yeah.
You now start pointing fingers at me. Yeah. Your audience realizes, oh, look at this guy, what he's doing.
Yeah.
I promise you, some of your clients are going to think, fucking A, I want to go with him because I want that.
Yeah.
That's a reality.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, it's a difficult thing. Eh? It's, and I agree with you. I mean, like, I also didn't speak out about it because, you know, I'm not going to voice my opinion on every single thing. You know, if one of the presidents says something, you're not going to you know, voice your opinion on that. So I've got my opinion on it. I think
the real education for us is not going to be on Instagram throwing shit at each other.
No.
It's going to be around a campfire with guests who travel with us.
Yes, exactly.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
And maybe, and this might be off tilt, but I think if some of these guides who are doing these things were to sit still and think of the privilege they have,
yeah.
and of the, for lack of a better term, what an honor it is to be able to take people to some of these places
yeah.
and to share people's first experiences with an elephant, with a lion, with a polar bear,
yeah.
with them. You're the vehicle that gave them that. If you could understand the gravity of what you are sharing with people
yeah.
and that sometimes just being there is enough, that you don't have to push the boundaries. And you also need to think of like the young wildlife photographers of South Africa, the thing that Gabby runs,
yeah.
right? There's 300-500 people upcoming into our industry. They want to yes. become guides. They want to do this.
Yeah.
You're a role model for those people.
Yeah.
We should take that seriously.
Yeah.
And I think personally, I think it reflects badly on these guides who do these things and post it so flippantly.
Yeah.
That it's just like, look what I did for my class. What are you teaching people?
No, exactly.
That's kind of where I'm coming from.
And I think, you know, to... In my opinion, to try and sort of sum it up is, don't premeditate an experience.
Mm.
So I would never go to a guest and say, "Come with me to Marna Pools, and I'm gonna get you close to
yeah.
Boswell. You're gonna be
sitting under him when he reaches up to the tree,
licking his leg when he
yes.
reaches up, or you know, get you close to dogs, or even like as far as having a meerkat jump on you, don't go with premeditated kind of ideas and thoughts and think that's what the safari experience is all about. 100%. And that's what's gonna sell it. Because if that doesn't happen, then that's when you push a little bit more. Like this is what I promised the guest. The guest saw this video of me under an elephant. Now I've got to like deliver this time and time again. And unfortunately, these are wild animals. So the more you push it, it's only a matter of time before something happens.
There's this thing called the reversible decision.
Yeah.
So if I decide, I say to you, hey, Johan, let's open a pizza store together. I think we'd crush it, by the way. But
those deep dish pizzas.
Oh, those Chicago ones, amazing, yeah. So, but if we decide to start a pizza store together, that's a decision. Mm-hmm. 2 months down the line, we realize, oh, shit, we're not very good at this. Mm-hmm. We can reverse the decision.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're going to close this thing up. We might have lost a bit of money, but you know, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
If I decide to go and kill someone, that is not a reversible decision. No. I made a decision to kill him. It's done. So now, if I make a decision out in the field to let an elephant on purpose, I make the decision to get my client close to this elephant because that's what I promised them online, right? I've made that decision.
Yeah.
There is a chance, whether you like it or not, that could be a not reversible decision. If that elephant steps on your client and kills them, it's a non-reversible decision.
Yeah.
You're done. Whereas if I say, okay, listen, he's going to walk from this tree to that tree because that's where he's feeding.
Yeah.
If we put ourselves here, you can use your wide-angle lens. You are still safe.
Yeah.
If it gives us a mock charge, we're safe. We're staying out of that zone.
Exactly.
He can do his thing. It's a reversible decision. We shouldn't have done that. Let's pull back.
Yeah.
There's a line.
Yeah. Or if he's walked past you in a close way.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Don't get up and go in front of him again and try and get it again. I mean, how many times? I've seen, like, in monopoles, it's happened. And the guys go again. And, like, how many times do you still want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, some of those elephants have the patience.
Yeah. When was I last to monopoles? I think maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were staying at Nyamatusi and then two of the other camps.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking for Boswell specifically. Yeah. So the one afternoon, I had four clients. We went. And we went to walk in with our armed guide, our local guy. We walked into an elephant. It wasn't Boswell. It was one of the other ones. And we must have gotten within 10 meters, still distance.
Yep.
Great sighting. iPhone videos of people. Da, da, da. This thing looked at us once, shaked his head once, had a feed and left. Yeah. Right? So we had this discussion in the evening at the dinner table. That was so cool. Was he angry? So we talk about body language. There's an education side. Da, 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 da. The next day, right, there was a self-drive guy in the afternoon. He was staying... is it BBC? Just close to Stretch's place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were staying there self-driving. It was a husband, wife, and two of their sons, like 20s, right? We saw that elephant the afternoon. Kept the distance. He shook once. A little bit of tension. Nothing bad. He left. We left. We had dinner. The next day in the afternoon, husband decided, I'm going to go on a drive on my own. He found an elephant. He thought it was Boswell. It wasn't. It was this one. He got killed that afternoon.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah, 100%.
This is real. Yep. So, and it comes back, I think we need to take it as a responsibility, as a privilege, as an honor to be able to do this. And if you are representing it, what it's not is like your Toyota thing, you're wrong.
Mm.
But then again, am I going to be the person that posts on every single forum, Toyota sucks, Toyota sucks, Toyota sucks, fuck Toyota. I'm not going to buy their car, don't buy their cars.
Yeah.
At some stage, your return on your investment for that behavior is like, dude, enough already.
Yeah.
We know.
No, exactly.
And that's where I think each to his own. I mean, you get activists, climate, let's go block the road and sleep in the so the cars can drive past me. You get that.
Yeah.
But to me, again, my education and my involvement in this is teaching people on the ground.
Absolutely.
In the field, around a fire, with an animal. See that we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Or this is close enough. Oh, but can't he come closer? I saw it online. No, but let me tell you why.
Yeah.
It's that.
And also, you know, if you had to get out the vehicle and get this flipping amazing photograph, for 99% of the people that go on safari, what are you going to do with that photo? You know, post on Instagram, you're going to get 100 likes. If you get 100 or 200 likes, who cares?
Mm.
It's not worth doing that. Mm. What is wrong with us? What's wrong with the traditional way of just sitting in the vehicle?
Yep.
It's an open safari vehicle and sitting and taking the photograph from there. Why are we so obsessed with have to get these low angles and... Yes, it makes for a cool image.
Once in a while.
Then what?
Once in a while. But you can get those by not getting out the car. We've spoken about this as well. Yeah. Is you can park in a lower angle, you can pull further back, your angle gets negated, whatever the case might be. But everything is turned into performance.
Yeah.
An image has to now be a performance of how we get it. I need to get a reel that's performative for my social media, because then I can get more likes. If I get more likes, I get more attention. I get more attention, I get more people. I get more people, I get more sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you permeate, you're pushing the problem, because the people who want to come with you then you're selling them the broken Toyota, not the...
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I think, yeah, I mean, if you create those experiences, I mean, look, if it happens, have people enjoy it.
Mm. Don't
share it. I mean, like, Craig and Amboseli is a great example.
Big Tusker guy, yeah.
Big Tusker. Like, people used to... I believe they've clamped down on that now, but you used to be able to get out of the vehicle, and I mean, I think he's super chilled, but he's still a wild elephant.
Yeah.
But now it's gone to the extreme where you've got ladies as models swinging their white dresses with this big Tusker with Kilimanjaro in the background. Come on.
Yeah. Like, what is that?
What are we creating, Adja?
It's a strange space. It is obviously social media driven, it's brand driven, it's influencer driven, it's ego driven, it's sales driven.
Yeah.
But at the core of it is still, we need to just... I've asked this question of many photographers on many trips, from Svalbard all the way back to Kenya. And it's like, after 3 or 4 days of the experience, especially new people. Mm. So we've seen a lion, you've seen a polar bear, whatever the case is. Yeah. And you'll say to them one night at dinner, so what you've experienced so far, if I had to say to you, you can do this again for the same amount of time, but you don't bring a camera, how many of you would do it? Mm-hmm. I've got a 100% success rate.
Yeah.
100% of people said they would do this again, and this being any experience,
absolutely,
because it's an experience, rather than, oh no, I'm not going to do this because I don't have a camera.
No,
100%, but somehow that thing is a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. It needs to stop. It's just... Yeah. I'm also, just as we kind of get to the just segue, is I'm also, Instagram for me, and maybe it's because I don't post elephants chewing on people's feet or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, imagine that. That'd be bad. But but it seems like it's just, there's certain things that peak, and I'm, even from a photography point of view, I'm happier to sit in a sighting and just watch.
Yeah.
And just be there and experience the moment, rather than trying to distill a 27-minute sighting into a single frame and say, look what I got. I want to be there.
Yeah.
And I want to have my people be there.
Exactly.
And I want them to remember what it felt like. I want it to, when you get out of the game viewer for sundowners or for breakfast, I want you to, oh, my back is tight because we've been sitting for a while. Yeah. That's what I want for them,
yeah,
is those things.
Yeah.
The smell of the elephant must when he's walked past down that road. And,
yeah.
But we somehow distill all those experiences into the singular moment.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, absolutely.
So, with all of that said...
Solved all the world's problems.
There you want to go to politics now? Anyway, you hear what Trump said? No, we're not doing that. No. We're not going. We're not touching that. Podcast. That's a campfire whiskey discussion.
Yeah.
If anybody has any comments on this, like, if you're a guide that's been involved, if you've posted something and you've gotten hate for it, if you are calling other people out and... What do you have to say? What are we doing with this? How do we solve this? If you're a client, have you ever been in a situation where your guide did something that gave you a dark feeling, but you went with it? Mm. Did you know better? Did you say to the guide, please don't do this? Those are the questions I think that we need to all have, but it just feels fragmented. It feels all over the place right now.
Yeah.
Let us know. Jerry@wildeye.com, johan@wildeye.com. What's your Instagram?
Johan van Zyl Photography.
Yeah, go down and look for the stuff that he's posted. You won't find it because...
Don't
go scroll too far.
I don't think there is anything.
No, it's but again, things happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes we document it, but to go and look for it, to make it happen and to do it because of doing it,
yeah,
I don't think it's good enough. We need to be better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Let us know what you think. You've got the details. Johan van Zyl Photography, Jerry van der Walt on social. And we'll chat to you sometime. When am I seeing you again?
We'll be Mara having a whiskey around the fire in the Mara in this Sunday in a week.
And then probably like November.
Yeah, then
okay.
Somewhere around there.
Anyway, Johan, always fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for listening, everybody. We'll chat to you next time. My name is Jerry.
My name is Johan.
We're from Wild Art. Bye.
Cheers.